Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, last week we left off with the concept of ta'amu uru'u, of tasting, literally the concept of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which we don't have forks and knives in order to do, but again, reiterating the concept of having to actually live this concept. So let's start today, if you're following it straight and safe, we're going to go back a little bit. I'd ended with a paragraph a little bit later, but I just want to go back to what he says in the beginning of number one. Let's explain this, or flesh out a little bit more this concept in a practical manner. So he writes like this: so Adam is oirer b'boker. Person wakes up in the morning. All this experience every morning. Dako shatayim ad shadai to nasos mishav. It takes a second until his mind, right, he's awake. Alarm goes off. It takes a moment or two before you're present again in this world. He wakes up. What is the first thought that a person is required to have? It's mutol al ha'adam. It's incumbent upon us to have as we wake up. Or yes, good point even, excuse me. From thoughts, get up. Don't be late to daven. You got to wash your hands, you got to say your brachas, you got to get through that. That's your first thought. Don't stay in bed any longer because I need to go daven. It's a nice first thought. Shulo gomra sa inyan shulo also kasmol, that I wasn't finished with the work that I left off with last night, I need to get back to it. Sheishlo inyan choshuv l'sadr hayom, I have something important I need to be doing today. What do I need? What's that first thought that we need to train ourselves to have? Kol makshavas alolu me'ein elu. So all of these types of thoughts, that's not the primary principal thought that a person has to have when he wakes up. Some of them are inappropriate thoughts. Some are good thoughts. I need a daven. That's a great thought to have. If you hit snooze again, you're going to be late. Again. Get up. Get out of bed. It's gabir ka'ari. Like a lion spirit. Those are all good thoughts. Some of the thoughts are not so good, but we have good thoughts. Ulam heim einam ha-machshava ha-ikaris, but it's not the principal thought. Mahi ha-machshava ha-ikaris shemutal al-ha-adam lachshav v'shaz kumo mimitoso. What is the fundamental thought that a person has to have? Next paragraph. Ha-machshava shemutalas al-ha-adam lachshav v'shaz shukam mimitoso. When he wakes up, he machshava pshuta me'oda. A simple thought, v'hi, sheyesh borei la'olam. Person first hears that alarm, opens up his eyes, and his first thought is, there is a creator. There is a Ribbono Shel Olam. There is a creator. Just a simple thought, and then you can say, Moda ani lefanacha. I am thankful for you for giving me back my soul. Now we could start off with that, which many of us are very good with. Most of us, I'll speak of myself, you guys I'm sure are far more righteous than I. When I say Moda ani in the morning, I am thinking about nothing. I'm not thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not thinking about my neshama. I'm thinking about maybe getting on teshuva time if I'm lucky, or about something that I need to do. And the words that are stumbling out of my mouth are Moda Ani. I'm sure, I know you don't deal with that, but I'm saying, me, that's what I struggle with. First thought is, Yesh Borei Olam. Person opens up his eyes as soon as he achieves his consciousness. The first thought that he's working with is, there's a creator. I just woke up in a world that's existing because there is a creator. Al ha'adam lahashil es yomo im ha'machshava ha'shayroshis v'abesosis v'yoyser sheyesh. Person has to start his day with the most fundamental and simple thought that exists. V'hi sheyesh borei l'olam. He doesn't say this, but what he's alluding to is that if you start with Moda Ani Lefanecha, even if you're good and you're actually thinking about what you're saying, but that's a very complicated statement to start with. It's a statement that deals with the Ribbono Shel Olam, my neshama, my thanking him for my neshama, the fact that I didn't have my neshama while I was asleep, and now that I'm awake again. There's a lot going on in that sentence, which we take for granted when we say it. We don't think about any of that, but there's actually a lot of that. And you're good. I'm so grateful that you've done this and your great kindness. There's a lot going on. the fundamental thought that has to precede that, before I say anything, is Yesh Borei Olam. I just woke up in a world that has a creator.
And really, the first three words are the trigger words. If you're getting up in the morning and you're saying Lefanecha, you're sharing the Olam with anyone. I'm saying this because this is something I could use for myself to help me remember. I'm thinking, if I'm saying Moda, and you don't take Moda's thanks, but you take Moda like I'm being subservient to you, and I'm bowing down to you, and you think Lefanecha, to whom? I mean, it's not to your wife, it's not to you, the kids at the house.
No, 100%. That's what he's starting with. There's no question about that. What he's saying is, this is going back to the idea of simplicity is the place to start. The starting point is simply
being aware of what you're
right,
saying, I guess.
Yesh Borei Olam. And I am thankful before you in the world that you've created. That's a much more complicated thought. Again, we take these things for granted. It's not complicated. We say it all the time. So I don't mean it's complicated in that sense.
We don't think about it.
Right. So you really go back to the kernel of the foundation of what that's built on is the first thought before you say anything is just a thought.
Yeah, but it's almost like imagine having a conversation and start talking to somebody, and it doesn't matter whether they're there or not. That's very different than talking to somebody who's there.
Right.
So the first thing is Yesh Borei Olam, and you go, right, okay, now we have a conversation because I have an object of whom I am speaking to, or if you can think about Hashem as a whom.
Right. I would say, building on that, the reason why I struggle with Moda Ani and it means so little to me is because it's not preceded with the simple statement that I live with. If you would ask me after I said Modani, who are you talking to? I said, the Ribbono Shel Olam. What do you mean? What's wrong with you? Who do you think I'm talking to? Right? We'd always say that. If we would be questioned, what did you just say and who were you saying it to? We would answer correctly. I was speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam and I was thanking him. Really? I mean, I could say that afterwards, but it's because we're not living with the reality that the first thought that I have when I wake up is there is a Bar-Shalom. Now I'm speaking to him, and that is literally why that this kernel needs to come first, because this prevents the Modani being something that's done totally by rote without any meaning, because I'm living it, because that's my first thought. I wake up, that's what I think about.
So why weren't Chazal talking to just that? They knew. Isn't that what the
Rosh is
saying?
I think it is. In other words,
Lefanecha is the key word right there.
Right, I think you're all right. In other words, that's a long thing also. These words encompass all of that, but in the same way that Chazal told us that, you know, how to daven, they gave us words of davening, and we need a hachana. This is the text that they gave us, what to say. They can give us a text. It's hard to legislate. I mean, this is all included. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, for example, in the first siman, this is what they meant. This is what the Shulchan Aruch on it says. This God, what the Ramah talks about, his God, Bir Ka'ari, you wake up like a lion in front of the king. It's all part of this.
Is it fair to say that if we went back far enough, and I don't know how far that is, but if we went back far enough, that message, there is a creator of the world, is one which was so ingrained there wouldn't even be a need for this book. And it's only in today's day and age, or in the past 300, 1,000 years, that we've become so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have to refresh our memory of this?
Certainly, post the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, where the Shekhinah was exiled, it's been this way for a long time. Okay. When the Beit HaMikdash existed and the Shekhinah was revealed in a way that we can't imagine what that was like, I can't speak about it. I don't know. Seems like the Nisyonos of Klal Yisrael were very different.
It could be like Michael's saying. I mean, it might be that way back when it wasn't necessary. I mean, that's why they never
stopped
it.
When the presence was revealed, when there were prophets who we walked amongst, I don't know what that was like in terms of...
How many weeks did it take for us to go from the Red Sea to the Yale? I mean, it's like we're so ridiculously stiff-necked. I mean, we don't see stuff. We deny stuff.
We definitely do. So I just don't know. It's possible this. There's a Yetzirah that always existed. It used to be for Avodah Zarah. Even when it was for Avodah Zarah, it's unclear what, you know, I don't know how to address that. It's a complicated issue in terms of addressing that issue. Well, Lamaisa, right now, we can say Modani for our whole lives, and it's not very moving. In other words, exactly those words, like those should be moving words. Modeh ani lefanecha.
There's a story like his son Chassidus Rebbe. He gets the words ani and lefanecha. He was just
focusing on the contrast in my who's I and who's I got stuck. He like he froze. He was there for like an hour. He's just sitting there.
Right,
really absorbed.
Hey, that should happen, but we're, you know, we're asleep. We're saying it, we're mumbling it, and the words tumble out, and everything. So the first thought has to be, but he's not even talking, he's not even coming from a perspective of, I'm trying to get you to say Muldani better. He's coming from a perspective of, if we've been paying attention over the last 6 weeks, the goal is to take that which we know and live it. And the way that we live that is that when you wake up, my first thought is, I live in a world of Ribbono Shel Olam. It's just part of, if you think about any time you've had a major issue going on in your life, whether or not it's a major decision about a job, whether or not it's a major windfall of money that you got, whether or not it was a major nisayon that someone's not well, during those moments, the moment you wake up, it's the first thing that you like, that's what happens. I wake up and I'm in it again. I went to sleep with it and I wake up and I'm back in it. Am I going to get the job? Am I going to lose my job? You know, what's going to be? If you're waiting, you know, you already, Baruch Hashem, are probably the one with grandchildren, right? Waiting for that, like, right? When you know that it's like any minute. You wake up, like, is there news? Did they call? Check the phone? It's consuming. So we're still living an existence of emunah is not just that if I ask you who you said Moda'ani to, you could answer. It's Ribbono Shel Olam. Still, why are you asking me that question? It's that I live it. I wake up, and I'm like, I live in a world that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists in. That's where he's coming from. I'm adding this thing, the Modani, to make it practical for us, like to try to bring it into something that like we'll say Modani better. But that's not even where it's coming from. It's just coming from if you're living it, that's what happens. Okay, he brings a mashal. This idea of where we constantly go to the, again, it almost seems like we're repeating ourselves every, but that's what we have to do. It's in order to bring it home. He brings a mashal, which I did not photocopy. The famous story that we're familiar with from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was walking by a brook and he sees a rock and the rock has been penetrated by the dripping water. So he says, what is so powerful about that story that Chazal want us to be aware of? When you think about that, and again, just these are Dvarim Pshutim which you also come up with your own, if I would ask you, what's so powerful about that? You would say the same thing that I'm about to say, which is what he says. Each drop is repetitive. It's the same thing over and over. You don't change anything. You just do the same thing over and over again, and each one seems to do absolutely nothing. That's the mashal that Chazal are telling us. Like a water to rock. The same thing over and over. And each one seemingly does nothing. Nothing. You would need the most powerful of microscopes to pick up on the scraping away of the stone by each drop. It's just imperceptible. Yet, you do the same thing over and over and over and over again. You can penetrate with nothing, water, the most powerful of rocks. So our hearts are referred to it. Tanakh refers to it, I believe, in the Mishnah, as the Lev Ha'Evan, as our hearts of stone. And it's the repetitive over and over and over again. Person keeps working, what are we working on? Just thinking about, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. What's going to change if I do that? Like, this is what I opened up with, right? Was our Rosh Hashanah so different? I don't know. Maybe it was, you could tell me, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But you know what? That's how it goes. It took years and years of water dripping on a rock, and it, you know, bores a hole through it. So each time that a person has their watch go off and they think, oh, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Today I was better than yesterday. Today I thought about it three times over the course of my day. I said, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Tomorrow I'm going to do it three times, and the next maybe I'll get to four. And over the course of, we have a lifetime to accomplish. So like a month, or a year, over years, like all of a sudden that stone heart gets peeled away, and that which we do over and over and over again, it seems to have no bearing. Like it didn't really impact my life so much. My Rosh Hashanah was the same as those pastors. All right, keep doing it. Because you do it over and over and over again, and the impact is there. Okay, let's go to number three. Second paragraph is going to tie us back into where we started from. Kosovo Ramchal B'Tchilas Sifro, the Mesilas Yisharim, which we quoted in the very, very beginning. This was the language of the Mesilas Yisharim, Uchishet Estakel Od Badover Tireh. When you look into the matter, you will see. Ki Hashleim Osa Amiti, true completion or wholeness. Hurak hadvekus vo yisbarach, is only clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clinging to Hashem, that is Shleimus. Shleimus, being whole, being complete, being perfect, is attaching oneself to Hashem. V'hu mashaya David HaMelech Omer. This is what David HaMelech said. V'ani kirvas elokim li tov. It's the pasuk that we had started with. David HaMelech says, what is tov? You want to know what goodness is? Goodness is being close to Hashem. V'omer achash ho'alti me'ez Hashem. A pasuk we are saying now every morning and every night. Achash ho'alti me'ez. I only have one request from Hashem. Oso havakesh. This is what I desire. Shifti b'veis Hashem kol yemei chayai. I want to dwell in the house of Hashem always. Kol yemei chayai. Lachzos benoim Hashem levake be'chalo. Kirak zeu atov, says Masil Shem. That's considered good. David HaMelech is saying, this is the only thing that I want. That's it. All I want is to dwell in your home. Ve'kol zulos zeh. Shiachshavuhu b'nei odom l'tov. And anything other than that. Anything other than being close and clinging to Hashem, which people might think to be tov. Eino ela hevel v'shov nisez. Nothingness. Complete void and empty. Those are the words of the Nesil Shisharim. Says the author, Tzarech L'Hovin Es HaYisod HaPoshut Shol HaChaim. We have to understand what is the fundamental concept or purpose of all of our life. Kol ma sheyesh lo l'odem b'chol yemei chayav. Everything that a person has in his life. Hein ba'alma hadein, hein ba'alma da'asi. L'netzach netzachim. Whether or not in this world or in the next world, which is eternal. Einu alok es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all that we have. We have our connection to Hashem. We're not taking anything physical with us, that much we know. And everything that we're going to have in the next world is all our connection to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'hakir oso, to recognize Him. L'izkarev elav, to come close to Him. U'lidabik bo, to cling to Him. That's all that we're going to have, that's all that we're going to be. V'kol zula zeh shiach shavuhu b'nei odom l'tov, and anything other than that, that we consider to be good, it's nothingness, it's a void, it's an emptiness, because all that we're going to have for eternity is our closeness to Hashem. Hakol ze hevel mamish chutz miyakar sabore, except for coming, recognizing Hashem, the kirva sabore dveikos bo yizbarach. Ein klum v'shumakom v'shum zman, there's nothing else in any place or in any time. Now I'm going to get back to the part of, well, very nice. So it sounds like you're painting me a picture. I should go live in Eretz Yisrael, go to be in Yerushalayim, and I'll live in a little small little grovel somewhere, and I'll be a pious Jew. I'll do nothing. I'll give up my job, give up my family, and nothing. Right? There's nothing other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you fooled me. You told me I didn't have to do that in the beginning. You got me to stay for all 6 weeks, and then 6 weeks later you come back and you say that's what I need to do. I have nothing other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. So give it all away and go live in a hut somewhere and meditate on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, if we understand this, so we understand that really at the end of the day it's our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to matter. He needs to understand a very simple point. Whatever it is that he's doing has to be surrounding, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning kol tzuros chayev tzricho lios b'tzura, all of the tzura, the appearance, the direction of his life has to be in a tzura, in a form HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'merko shel hakol v'chol inyan, that Hashem is at the center of whatever it is that he's doing, so that whatever it is that he's doing it in a way that Hashem is at the center of that, meaning b'chol makum v'chol zman. Kol mashu mechapes b'chol mikol inyan. Whatever he's looking for in any inyan, mikol makom, in every place, in mikol zman, zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's always looking to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kasher ha'adam mevin shekol hatayeg mitzvos him einam ela eitzos. Like we learned before, all 613 mitzvos are eitzos. They're pieces of advice. They're different paths. Keitza lahagia lahakara sabore. How does a person come to recognize? And kirvasa, coming close, udveikos bo. Learning Torah, which is in itself the root of all the mitzvos. Every time a person does a mitzvah, he's thinking about this idea that this mitzvah is another method of me coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, putting him in the center of my life. Every aspect of Torah that he learns, if he understands that purpose, that point, that goal, then he'll understand. It's also true in his in Yanim of Chulin, in his mundane, his regular tasks, his raising of a family, his going to work, his making his money to be able to support his family, doing all the things that he needs to do, whether or not it's in Yanim of Chulin, or Hein Ben Yanim Kedusha, or it's the in elements of sanctity, Shema Tayig Mitzvah, when he's involved in an actual mitzvah, Ein lo elo l'chapeis v'em sha'idei sha'al yodov yizkarav yosef yosef l'kodesh baruch hu. That is what's in his mind. So no matter what it is that he's doing, person has to eat. Person has to live his life. He has to go to work. He has to earn a living. But it's in his mind, why am I doing this? What am I doing this for?
It doesn't really say it, but really that's the bigger challenge, right? Actually, it needs to probably, maybe I didn't see the whole book, but I think that really needs more fleshing out to explain, because it's almost so much easier during Shemot Esrei to see the Borei Olam. But how do you see?
Right, that's what you're doing, right?
How do you see? That's the hard part. How do you see it? How does it apply? You're just not, you're in a very physical environment. You don't feel him there, but he's still there.
Right.
But it's a different kind of experience. That's the thing.
And that's
it needs more.
So, 100%. In other words, there's no question that it's more difficult to be involved in. If you're involved in a base medrash all day, so that makes it a whole lot easier. Doesn't make it simple. I can testify for many hours spent in the base medrash that one can also.
It's like a different type of kirbas elokim. It's a very different kind of experience of kirbas elokim.
So it's an experience of, in other words, the type of experience that we've been working on is an experience of. It has not been. When you're doing mitzvahs, that's the avoda. That's not what we've necessarily been working on. It's a matter of every hour in the hour, person has an awareness. I live in a world of the Ribono Shel Olam. I wake up in the morning, and I have an awareness. There's the Ribono Shel Olam. Yeah. I'm living in awareness. So that's where he's saying, and he just, as he's mentioned, just sort of references it. So it doesn't matter if you're doing a mitzvah, or it doesn't matter if you're going to work. I'm living, after all of this work, of working on that over and over again, just making it conscious in my mind that I live in a world of Dei Ribono Shel Olam, and I'm thinking about that. So then, even when I'm at work, I'm simply aware that there's a Ribono Shel Olam, which will change the way you interact with your colleagues, it changes the way you interact with clients, it changes the way that you fill out your tax forms. It's just, I'm living in awareness, not just a knowledge that there's a Ribono Shel Olam that exists, I'm living that awareness. And that there's no difference between living that awareness while you're at work, or whether or not you're sitting in the basement just learning, or you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, because of the fact that what he's working on is simply consciousness. I'm just simply conscious of the fact that there's a emotional, and my task is to come close to him. And there's a medrash which I didn't see him quote, but Rav Dessler talks about it. I've seen it in a couple of places. Rav Dessler talks about the Medrash that says that, I forget which time, it was going all the way back to, I think, one of the characters in the Chumash, that when he would make shoes for his customers, he'd be ma'achid ichudim, he'd be creating all sorts of spiritual connections. I was making shoes. But Rav Dessler understands that his whole, you're paying me to make you a shoe, I'm going to make you a shoe that's going to allow you to do your avoda, and it's going to be a fulfillment of my avoda. This is my purpose of right now. And it was with a connection to the Ribono Shel Olam as he's making the person shoe, because he's aware of why it is that he's doing it and what's going to be accomplished with what he's doing it. It's a consciousness. As he's focusing on making the best possible quality shoe that he can, because that's what the person's paying him to do. I'm not saying it over, I haven't seen it in a while, but there's, even when you're working, everyone who has ever been in a work environment knows that there are different types of workers. In terms of how much energy and effort they put into whatever it is that they're doing.
So he's connecting the soul with the soul.
What's that?
He's connecting the soul with the soul.
Right, you can say it that way.
Sorry, I had to be
there. Somebody has to say it, right. I would not have said it, so I'm glad you did. So there's you know, there's someone who's into what he's doing, and there's somebody who's not. The person's being paid to work, and is aware of a consciousness of the Ribono Shel Olam. I am responsible during this time to be doing my job. And even though I'm now, because of that consciousness, I'm focused on my job. But that's what I'm being paid to do, and I'm doing it consciously because there's a original. And I'm living in his world. And this is my task right now, and that's why I'm doing it. And he's around, and he's with me as I'm doing this. And it's a steady stream of consciousness, which we, without working on it, otherwise won't have.
So, Rabbi, what do we do with the Jews or Arab people who try to destroy that relationship you have with Hashem?
People who try to destroy your relationship with Hashem?
Yeah. Like, how are we supposed to deal with those people?
I'm not sure what is it you're talking about.
I'm saying, look, for faith, you're on a path, you're growing, but you have, you know, people that are, let's say, look, you know, the thumb or stoppers.
So, I mean, the simple answer is stay away, stay as far away from them as you can.
But what if, like, they're just a non-stop, they're there in your face every time, and they're going
to... Yeah, it's a real embodiment. The Gemara says, you know, that's the Yetzer Hara. The Chol Yom is God their love. Every day it becomes stronger against them and never lets up. So sometimes we have real life.
But, I mean, you just, like, turn the cheek of smile, and is there anything you're supposed to do, like, physically, or even just...
I don't know. I'm happy to talk to you about if there's a specific case. It's hard for me to answer that just in theory. So I would do that. I'll have a talk to you later if you want.
Okay, well, I would land it actually.
After I figured, you were going with that, and I figured I wanted to stop before.
I'm going to talk to you
about Maybe you should just leave now because.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, let's move forward. Okay, the last three lines in that paragraph on Samachay, Kolomar. A person should not get caught up on the externals of the things. To remember everything that he's involved in. Ben Gashmi, Ben Ruchni. Whether he's involved in Gashmius or Ruchnius. How do I come close? I need to make lunches for my kids. So it's a steady stream of consciousness. The Ribbono Shalom blessed me with this child. I'm responsible for him. I have to make lunch. That's part of my... But it's just within the context of... This isn't just a menial task. I have to do this. I have to go to work. I have to clean up this. I have to set up this. It's a steady stream of... All the things that I'm doing are in the perspective of I am living on the Ribbono Shalom's clock. He created me. This is his world. He exists. And whatever it is that I'm doing, and we have all these responsibilities, I'm volunteering to clean up the Sidurim after davening. Right? That's not even sort of mundane, sort of not mundane. And why are you doing that? I'm conscious because this is the Ribbono Shel's house and I'm going to keep it neat. I'm cleaning up my own house. My wife asked me to sweep up. You know, I'm sweeping up my dining room after a meal.
It's like the Kohanim with cleaning up the yashas.
Right? This is my home. This is where my mizbech is. This is where we eat. And I'm responsible. And this is your world and I'm cleaning it up. There, Rav Moshe Weinberger tells a story, which I'm not going to tell well because I haven't heard it, but when I said that, he tells a story of a certain Rebbe in the Holocaust who, the way that he tells it was found at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Somebody used to find him sweeping up the sidewalk in front of the yeshiva or in front of it from his house. He would wake up very early and sweep the city streets. And when he was in the war, the Nazis gave him a toothbrush and threw him down to the ground and told him to sweep up, and while they kicked him and beat him and laughed at him or something like that. And he said he had the thought while he was there being beaten and kicked with a toothbrush in his hand, sweeping city streets, he said to himself, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm cleaning your world. I'm cleaning and making a need for you. And his thought process was, all right, this isn't the way that I would choose to do it. I wouldn't choose to be kicked and beaten, laughed at, and mocked at Zechil Hashem with a toothbrush in my hand. But the bottom line is, I'm going to make your world a little bit cleaner right now. And that was his thought process. And he said, if I ever get out of this, I'll continue to make your world a cleaner place in any way that I can. And his whole life he used to wake up early to sweep up the city streets as a king of it. But you could be involved in anything, and you could, if your consciousness is I'm in the Ribbono Shel's world, so whatever you're doing, changing a diaper, I'm cleaning up, sweeping up the streets, I'm straightening up, doing gardening in the front yard, whatever you're doing, these are the things that go without saying when you're at work. If it's just that stream of consciousness that says I'm in the Ribbono Shel's world, I'm going to make it a better place, and whatever my job is, I'm going to do it well. I mean, if it has no impact on people, then it's just to earn a paycheck to be able to support my family. If it's a job that actually impacts other people, I have the source of being paid, even though what I'm doing is actually the benefit of other people, and I'm going to do that by helping them in your world, and I'll be paid for that. I'll be able to support myself. But it's just a consciousness that allows me to be focused on that as I'm doing all the things that I'm doing.
This story was told over in the OU video for Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
The person saying it said that this man, when he retired from being a lawyer, he ended up sweeping the plaza in front of the Kotel.
And that's a more obvious one, at least in the sense of, like, that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's home, mamish. The whole world is his home. He created the whole world. Every aspect of the world that you're cleaning up is to make his world a more beautiful place as an expression of his beauty, whether or not it's gardening in your own home or anything else. It says, you know, a person sees a piece of trash on the street, picks it up. Right? So you could do that thing, I'm the nice guy. Or you could do that and you could say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I wouldn't let my house look like this, I'm not going to let your world look like this. I can't clean up the whole world, but if I come across a wrapper on the street, I'm going to clean it up. And my consciousness is, this is your world and I'm going to clean it up. I'm not going to let people just make a mess of it. That's a very different thought process when a person has been working on this always, and when the first thought that he has in the morning is, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, that person will have a thought when they see a wrapper, when they pick it up, A, they won't walk past it, B, they won't just pick it up and say, I'm a nice guy. They'll actually think, it's another opportunity to have that thought pop into our head. Ribbono, this is your world, and I'm making your world a nicer place. That's a very different life that we live when we're able to think along those lines as we go about doing those things. Okay. All right, so the way that he wrote the Sefer, I photocopied from a different version. The blue ones that you have, he broke up the newer editions, they broke up the Sefer into different components. This is the end of the first section. The second section is starting with Oy Samach Zayin and Samach Chas on the back side of your page. We have about less than 5 minutes left, so we're not really going to get very into it. I'll just sort of introduce it and restate as I do that. I think it was mentioned last week that you really need to learn the whole Sefer straight through just to get the idea of what the point is, and then you go through again and you could really then start to do the Avodah. You could actually start to work on it to fulfill the things that we've been speaking about. This idea of, which is really, you know, you could summarize all 6 weeks in one sentence, even though it's taken us 6 weeks, and we need more than that to really fulfill it. We know that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists. We all have a level of Emuna that's already there, and we don't live with it. And the goal, the tasket of our life is to come close to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be close, to have a relationship in space, a relationship in as a family, a relationship as a friend, that we live with Him. And He's part of our lives, and that takes a constant avoda over and over, creating that stream of consciousness, because it won't be there on its own. So that, every mitzvah that we do, fits into that. This is another etzah. This is another way of my bringing myself close. Every time a person is sitting and learning, whether or not a person is at work, that's the consciousness that he has. That it's not just that if you ask me, I can answer questions that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists, but that I actually am living that in the way that I taste it, in the way that I wake up in the morning with that. That's my first thought, in the way that I'm just simply aware of that stream of consciousness. That's the summary of the concept of what it is that we were doing. I would almost add as conclude with, as opposed to getting into what the next thing was, a whole new piece. My 3.5-year-old daughter said to me on Rosh Hashanah, "So, Daddy, do you know that today Hashem is king over the world?" I said, "Why? That's right. That's exactly what we're doing today." She says, "I know. My mother told me that, and now I know it." That's how she speaks, you know, because at that age, every time you're learning something, you say, "Now I know it." She says, "I know, and now my mother taught it to me, and now I know it." And it hit me, just because we've been doing all this work, like, oh boy, how different is my saying that than my 3.5-year-old saying it? Right? I know it, I said it, I did, right? That's it.
She'll use it against you at some point.
What's that?
She'll use it against you at some point.
She will, I'm sure. And that's really, you know, that's the task of what we're doing. Like, there's information that we learn when we're three. And then we say it every year. And now I know it. And that's not what life is about. That comes very early. Our 3.5 has that information. Our Rosh Hashanah needs to be about living it constantly, making it real. And that's really, this entire task is taking the things that we've known since we were three, and then actually be having it become a part of our life. And like a rock being, you know, broken apart by a drip of water, constantly doing it. It's a lifetime of work to be able to do it and be able to do it and work on it. And then, as he said, it's, but a life that's lived with that is not comparable to a life that's lived without it. A Jew who gets to Olam Haba after 120 years, having worked on a consciousness that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, when that's all that there is, it's 120 years later, there is nothing else, that Jew is in an entirely different place than the Jew who was aware of, yes, this is what I thought it would be like, but didn't live a life that way. Because at the end of it, that's all we have. That's all that's going to be left. We're not taking anything else with us other than all of these, the third mitzvahs that we learned and the Ma'asim Tovim that we've done, which is all geared towards creating that perspective that it is that we have.
It's like the mashal that Rabbi Alperin gave, where he said that they were driving, the family was taking a trip and they were going through an industrial part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went through it, the 3-year-old daughter or 4-year-old daughter said, "Daddy, do you know we're going through an industrial part of town and they have nuclear reactors or something like that?" And everyone in the car laughed, because what's a 4-year-old supposed to know from that? He said, "Lahavdil, when we pray to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so often we just say the words, and we have to really ask ourselves, are we sounding as funny to a Kodesh Baruch Hu as the little daughter sounded to him? Because we're just saying, you know, we're just, so like you say, we just know this, but we don't, we're so devoid from what we're actually saying and knowing."
All right, there's obviously much more, but I hope this was a productive session. So that's it for me on Monday night.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.